What's up? Welcome in. Thursday on the Fan. Grant and Danny, August 20th, 2026. We've got tickets for somebody in 2 hours at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz to go to the Freedom 250 Grand Prix. Someone's going to win right here on Grant and Danny today. We're closing in on a Beltway Blitz, a double play. We got all the daily staples lined up for you. Should be a very fun show. The pitching coach of the Washington Nationals,
nice.
Simon Matthews, is on the show in an hour at 3. Cade Cavalli, while most of us have been paying attention to training camp, has turned himself into an ace for the Washington Nationals. He's been unhittable in 2 straight starts with 21 strikeouts. He has been maybe the best pitcher on the planet, not named Jacob Mizorowski, for the last month and a half.
Just straight up dealing. He has been unbelievable. Like, at one point, we were on 25 strikeout pace for last night's game. The Rangers got their act together, put the ball in play a couple of times to ruin that, but he was dominant.
Let me ask you this. What's more impressive? And I honestly think it's debatable. So 2 starts ago, he was perfect through 3 innings. He ended up being perfect through 5. But last night, through 3 innings, he had retired 9 of 10 batters. So he had someone got a hit off of him. But he had 8 strikeouts out of 9 outs. So 8 punchies in 3 nearly perfect innings, or 3 perfect innings. What's more impressive? I think 8 out of 9 outs being strikeouts as a guy that misses bats is probably more impressive.
The strikeout is, because, again, you see what happens with a perfect game or otherwise. Like, it was a bloop, a little, you know, a 3-legged possum or a, you know, dying quail, a duck snort that gets a hit. Sometimes that gets caught. So, like, those are things that are left up to chance a lot of times. The reason baseball's evolved to what it is, it's about the true outcomes, right? And so those are untrue. Those are lies. A line drive could be caught. A pop-up can fall in. And, you know, it's a great hit in the scorebook, or it's an out. But the impressive thing is, this is true. There's no hiding from the fact that I threw it by your ass. Not, you know, 8 out of 9 times. Incredible what he's been doing.
8 straight quality starts, 10 of his last 11. He has an 1.8 ERA, 52 strikeouts, 44 innings, and a sub-1 whip over his last 7. And he's getting deep enough into starts that he's got 7 decisions in that time. He's 6-1 over that span. But this is not like some random dude who's coming into his own. This is the guy with the best stuff on the staff that, when we were at spring training in March, one of the cool trips we get to do every year as a show is go down there and educate the listening audience on the team. And everyone was raving about how Cavalli had come into his own and he was ready to become a frontline starter. And this is one of the things this front office got totally right. He is absolutely now.
It's happening.
Dealing. He's basically one dominant start away from maybe having an ERA below 3.
He is a horse. I mean, so this is a pitcher from now, new stuff, the new paradigms and all the different pitch shapes and things. That's very 2026 built in a lab. But this is what the pitcher used to look like. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like a little guy who maximized some kind of torque and leverage and can throw harder than his shoulder can handle. This is that 6'4" tree trunk leg downhill, you know, mustachioed cowboy coming at you. And that's kind of like a throwback in that way. He is an attacking mode pitcher, and he's kind of honing his craft. He's 27, but he's still very young, a neophyte in terms of big league experience. And so you kind of forget about that because it's a name that's been around for long enough, but it's not as like he's got 500 starts in his bag. This is a guy that's still kind of learning on the fly, and it looks like the lessons have been applied. He has been unbelievable here.
Yeah, he actually just surpassed over his last few starts 1 full season's worth of major league starts over 3 years because he dealt with an injury. His career goes back to 2022, but he's got very little wear and tear on the arm. I mean, most starters in this era are right around 200 innings for the season if they pitch, you know, every single game. For his career, he's at 195 innings. So he's kind of basically at now
wild
a like one season, worth. Yeah. If you're looking at like a young quarterback, he's basically started 17, 18 games. So there's still a lot more in the tank in terms of development and growth here, having just turned 28 years old, to your point. We'll talk to Simon Matthews about Cavalli and the rest of the pitching staff coming up at 3 o'clock on Grant and Danny. I also, later in the show, want to get into C.J. Abrams, who has yet to play second base. The longer post-announcement that he is moving to second, that he doesn't move to second, I think it is perfectly reasonable, based on everything we know, to speculate that maybe he's dragging his feet a little bit, or it might not even be that nefarious, but they went to him. They said, you're moving to second. He says something to the effect of, I want to get a bunch of ground balls and feel comfortable, and you're not quite comfortable. So if they're saying, okay, well, let us know when you're comfortable, and they're thinking 3-4 days, you might be going, well, if it's up to me, I'm not going to be comfortable for a while because I don't want to play over there. So at some point, do you just write his name on the lineup card? Like, if I'm Blake Butera,
and you got to get comfortable in some games.
Yeah. My patience is running out a little bit here. I made the announcement. I told everyone we're doing this. It's been several days. It's time to do this. But we'll get into that a little bit later on G&D, all of our baseball conversations on The Fan. Come your way via Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed Xfinity. Imagine that. Let's get to training camp coverage, though. I was out in Ashburn today. In fact, I would be out there sweating in the tent right now, but I didn't want to have to go through another storm while live on the radio, because the experience I had last week was traumatizing and terrible, where Toby got lifted up off of the ground, holding on to the tent, and the entire table with all the TV equipment from NBC4 got dumped everywhere, and we had to put it all back together for them. You know what I felt like? I felt like I was one of those dudes in Twister who's trying to get those little balls up into the sky or something. That was the storm we went through in that little tent out there, and I was just waiting to be pierced in the stomach.
It's not great enclosure.
By a metal rod.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where you go, I like doing the radio show, but this seems like one of those, we're not supposed to have obstacles in front of us to do it. Does that make any sense? Like, this is not a physical challenge. We're not on Double Dare. We're not doing some kind of endurance quest. Joe Rogan's not going to have us eat cockroaches next for Fear Factor. We should be comfortable, or at least semi-comfortable.
I don't even think it's going to be a huge thunderstorm, but I saw that the forecast called for heavy rain.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm good. I'll just go into the studio where the air conditioning is, where my pal Danny Rouillet sits.
There you go.
And so I joined you here. But, I was just out of sorts and flustered that day. This is how bad it got. I think of myself, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm the funniest guy in the world, but I think of myself as having a pretty good sense of humor. Like, by the literal sense of, oh, that's humor, I'll react. So JP texted me during the terrible storms. I guess he was listening or whatever. And he's like, whatever you do, like, make sure you take care of the Diet Pepsis. Like, that's the most important thing in that tent. And I'm going, oh, damn, where are the Diet Pepsis? What do I do? And I'm, like, texting him. I can't find them. Where are they? He's like, I'm joking. But I was so out of sorts and worried about
the storm. I see. Your radar was broken.
That, like, that's a terrible sense of humor. That was a joke of him looking for a giggle.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, running around with hands on the head like, Diet Pepsis! Toby, get the Diet Pepsis! Where are they?
Yeah, you're the goalie looking for the puck, and it's in the net.
I thought I'm trying to, like, save the day.
Yeah.
You know? But it was a fight or flight? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, something like that. Like, are your ancestors, saber-toothed tiger, you, Diet Pepsi?
It was a very scary time for all of us. Mm-hmm. Here's something I don't understand I need explained to me. We used to do a segment called Someone Explain to Me on Grant and Danny. I'm bringing it back right now. Someone explain to me why Nick Allegretti playing or not playing in a preseason game has anything to do with what happens with Jaden Daniels. Nick Allegretti has practiced for like 14 minutes since the start of training camp. Julian Good Grief has been their starting center for the entirety of training camp, essentially. And as of this moment, is their starting center. Julian Jones is the guy. If week one comes, if they were playing the Eagles tonight, Julian Good Jones is their starter. It's not like they're on center four. It's not like you're telling me, well, Rashad White's hurt and German McNichols is hurt and Bill got something tweaked today, so maybe he doesn't play. So now you're down to running back four, which is the case, by the way. This is the guy that they said was competing with Allegretti for the starting job when camp began. That was their words, not mine. Now, we can all acknowledge that this guy's played two downs in the NFL, but I keep hearing that if Allegretti's not playing and he's already been ruled out, Jaden Daniels shouldn't play.
So just a quick interjection. Everybody's doing that like, oh, well, of course. Like, it's the most obvious thing in the world. There's a correlation. If the starting center can't play, you can't play the quarterback. And everyone's kind of moved, and they've already moved to the next thing.
When, by the way, the rest of the offensive line would be playing. Brandon Coleman is healthy and ready. I talked to Josh Connerly today. You'll hear that interview on Grant and Danny on The Fan. You got two Joshes, Josh Connerly, Josh Josephs, coming up on the show today from training camp. Connerly, locked, loaded, ready to go, wants to play in the game. You've got Sam Cosmi, ready to push people around and maul people. Chris Paul. I mean, four of the five from the first team group are out there. The one guy that wouldn't be is Nick Allegretti, and he hasn't been the entirety of camp anyway. So someone explain that to me, and we can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. Like, should the Allegretti status, he's out and he's not able to play because he left practice again yesterday, still hasn't gotten through two straight training camp practices yet. But should that affect Daniels at all? I don't think it should. It's one guy out of five, and you're down to the dude that we were told was going to push him, the guy that's going to compete with him. Like, their words, not mine.
So what I encourage folks to do, and if you get to the same conclusion, I suppose, but the idea that this is the plan at center, everyone should be panicking if this is the case. Like, do we realize what it means to say that our starting quarterback, now, obviously it's a different weight because it's a preseason game. We wouldn't be saying this if it was week three or whatever. Like, if Allegretti doesn't play, you're not having Jaden Daniels stay home and not play in the London game in week four or something like that, right? I understand that. But if the Daniels consideration should be the Daniels consideration, that should be the beginning and the end. Can he play seven snaps? Can he do that this week? And does that behoove us? That conversation, I think, is a good one. We can have it. If it's because Allegretti can't play, then everybody should be freaking out like their hair is on fire. Because what's going to happen is Julian Goodgrief, which is a great nickname, I'm stealing that, we're going to use it, has to play football games.
Toby gets credit for that, by the way.
Yeah, tip of the cap to old Tobes. That's going to happen because Nick Allegretti's been healthy for 17 seconds and then had to go to the blue 10 again. This is the plan at center. I don't understand how it was the plan at center. I will not let it go. I am a dog with a bone on this one. They go, ta-da, year three. This is the line. This is the center plan. Look at us. And everybody's panning it. Now, they may turn out the team is right and all these rankings are wrong. Fine, but are you going to argue that it's a top 10 offensive line? If you are, let me borrow your burgundy glasses. No way. I can't believe it's that dire of a situation at center. If that's the case, that Allegretti can't go this weekend, which is understandable. He's been banged up, and I want him to get healthy for the season.
Yeah.
If he can't go, then Daniels can't go. Then we can't have games.
So I can get behind the Dan Quinn commentary that whether or not Daniels plays is dependent on who else is able to play. Because I think that does make some intuitive sense. There's no reason to send him out there with the second team, because to some extent, what is the point of those reps? Like, if he's throwing to Jaden Bradley and Jacoby Jones, and he's not going to be throwing to those guys in games, then you're not getting any timing. You can make the case that there's less value in him playing, right? Fine. But he's not. Terry McLaurin is healthy. He will play, you would imagine. Stephon Diggs is healthy. He will play, you would imagine. So you've got your top two receivers. By the way, that triumvirate, Diggs and McLaurin and Daniels, have never played together. Might as well take the training wheels off in a simulated, exhibition setting. And the offensive line, in its entirety, sans center, is ready to go. If we found out today, part of the reason that they have pause is that Coleman and Connerly are both not going to play because they're banged up. Okay, I'm not a crazy person. You have a backup left tackle already in Coleman, and the backup to the backup now has to start. So you're down to left tackle three, Wiley, Trent Scott, whoever that is. And they've got to block Aiden Hutchinson or something like that. And you've got a backup right tackle. And you got a backup center. It starts to be a little bit too risky and dicey. But that's not what's happening. It's one dude who hasn't practiced at all. It doesn't make any sense to me. In fact, we talked about this on a Take Command episode we just recorded after practice today that's going to drop tomorrow. Myself and Logan. Logan made an interesting point. I'm going to grab this audio. We can play it next segment. But Logan's take was that the center position should have very little to do with whether Daniels plays or not, which I happen to agree with. But he made an interesting point I did not consider. He said the running back position is the one oftentimes that you might tie directly to the quarterback. He didn't say this, but I would add the tight end position. And the reason is pass protection and blitz pickup stuff. Second preseason game, teams dial it up a little bit more. Lions might run a couple of things defensively, ramping up. And so do you trust your running backs to hold up? So you already know that McNichols isn't playing. You already know that Rashad White isn't playing. Today at practice, I saw something happen. I don't know exactly what it was. Could have been a momentary nothing burger. Could also mean he doesn't play. But Bill looked like he tweaked something running and started favoring his leg a little bit coming off the practice field. So let's just hypothetically say Bill doesn't go because they don't want to push him 2 days later.
Okay.
Got some minor ding. Then in a world where Bill's not playing, McNichols isn't playing, and White's not playing, you have two rookie running backs in Catron Allen and Robert Henry Jr., and a guy who's been here a couple days in Craig Reynolds. Jaden Daniels is counting on them to not get him Jackson darted, Like, you saw the blitz from the Vikings where the running back didn't pick up the blitz and Jackson Dart got annihilated.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, Logan made this argument. I hadn't thought about it, but I go, way better point. Or the tight end situation where, as a tight end, if you're John Bates or you're Colson Yankoff or you're this dude number 40 Moore who's good in line blocker apparently, you're picking things up. You're staying in pass pro. I think there's more of a link to how many backs and tight ends are healthy to protect my quarterback maybe than one center in a group of five who oftentimes gets guard help anyway.
But again, this isn't rookie free agent Freddie that didn't even get drafted. This isn't some Jag. This is the guy that was supposed to be part of the competition. We don't need Tyler Biadasz, remember? We have no need for it. He's not going to play. Not only is Allegretti going to beat him out, but we like Julian Good-Jones. We've got options. We've got options here. Again, if it's that level of we can't have an offense on Saturday, we can't do this. Again, if you want to make a decision about Jaden Daniels independent of the center spot, be my guest because of practice or whatever, and we can have a fun debate about that. But to me, I like Logan's perspective an awful lot. But the part I keep coming back to is this is and was the plan at center. It's already not working very well. And if it's not working so well or to such a huge degree that the backup that is absolutely going to play this year, that Julian Goodgrief is going to play football this year for this team, I promise you. That's how it goes. We had a year a couple years ago where they played five different centers. Things happen. You get rolled on. Good luck, bad luck, everything in between.
But you don't understand. In week 11, when Julian Good-Jones is starting, they're just going to say Jaden's not going to play this week because Nick Allegretti's not.
That's where we are. We're talking about, again, a dozen snaps maybe. Last year it was less. Last year it was what, five, four? If you go two possessions, you can't do that with a guy that you told us was going to compete at the center spot. That's all I care about with this discussion. That's the beginning, that's the middle and the end. This is the plan at center, and it's already a disaster. Or maybe that shouldn't be a consideration at all. Maybe the guy that, you know, is absolutely going to play is fine, and they'll be fine for a dozen plays.
Yeah, so we can have the center conversation too. That's the part you're hyper-focused on, and that's your prerogative, and I get that. I don't disagree with that, by the way. It was weird to me when they cut Biadasz. I understood that they liked Allegretti to be a starter. It was then even weirder to me than cutting Biadasz that they didn't bring anybody else in who's ever played center in the NFL. They just decided not to after they said there's going to be a competition. There is no competition. It was very strange. I don't think they handled it particularly well. I agree with you. I'm just saying, in a vacuum for this game, that can't be the excuse. Give me another one.
Yeah, we're getting to the same spot. I mean, I'm going, if then you're admitting to me that this plan was so horrendous that we're already broken. The season's already over.
Give me another excuse why you wouldn't play him. Now, I will say this. I have been zigzagging back and forth like an Indy car on Pennsylvania Avenue this weekend for the Grand Prix 250. On Tuesday, I thought Jaden Daniels was going to play in the preseason game because they had such a nothing burger of a practice that I thought there's no way they're going to have this practice and not play in the game. Yesterday, they got after it, padded practice. All the rumblings out at the facility were Jaden's not going to go. He's getting all these first and second team reps. So we did the show yesterday, and I'm saying, I don't think Jaden Daniels plays in the preseason game. The winds are blowing a different way today. At practice today, they were using like carded period. Do you know what I mean by that when I say that, using cards? Basically, how would I just, like, instead of Durante Jones calling the Washington defense into Washington, or them running their own defense, they're doing a bit where they're all gathered around looking at the images of the Lions alignment as a scout team to give the offense a look at how the Lions operate. Do you understand what
Got
I'm
it,
saying?
Yeah.
So basically, they're doing a scout team defense, a carded period where they're running some Detroit stuff. Jaden Daniels was on the field during that. Now, not gospel, but that would typically tell me, my spidey senses, having covered the league for a long time, if Daniels is getting reps against a scout team that is giving him Detroit looks, I would now be surprised if he didn't play. It would be strange to do that and then to not play him, but they could say, hey, there's just too many injuries. There's just too many guys. We're not going to have him go. You'll hear what Dan Quinn had to say about playing Daniels and why it is tied to other players, including Nick Allegretti, I guess. Want to get your thoughts on that, though, next. 800-636-1067. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are together in our Navy Yard Half Street Studios today. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. We're discussing Commanders Camp and preseason game 2 Saturday afternoon in Detroit. All of our training camp coverage is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Dan Quinn asked today about whether or not Jaden Daniels will play on Saturday.
Do you know if Jaden's going to play Saturday yet?
Once I know like the health of everybody else around, then I'll have a better sense for it.
So he's on record as saying the health of everyone around him is going to determine what happens with Daniels. It is very strange to me in the preseason when teams are so guarded. Like, there are a lot of teams, by the way, that just come out on Monday and they just go, here's what's happening this week. Our guys are going to get... Like, I remember Mike Shanahan. Remember how guarded he was?
Of course.
He said nothing ever. There was a switch he would flip right at the end of the preseason after cutdown day where he went from giving you the injury report and going through all the motions and saying all these different detailed things to, okay, he's in regular season mode. And we'd kind of laugh walking away from the podium like, he hit the switch.
And now we know. He would confirm that certain players were actual human beings. Like, that's as far as he would go.
The way I remember it, though, was early in the week, each week, he would kind of tell you, we're thinking 10 to 15 plays this week for those guys, and then we'll get them out. I don't understand what the benefit is in the preseason when the game result doesn't matter. Like, there's a debate to be had whether or not, even during the regular season, midweek, giving a who's going to play, who's not going to play publicly actually helps you or not at this level. But let's just pretend with the exercise and go along with it and say that it does. Mm-hmm. In the preseason, who cares? So it is a little bit weird to me, guarded to me, that they have been so, like last week, Quinn kept kicking the can down the road. He's like, I'll let you know closer to the game. And then they never did. Like, there was never the, hey, here's how many snaps and who's going to play. And
yeah, it was
isn't.
An investigation by, like, Standig and Nikki Javala and company to go, okay, here's who came out for extra warm-ups. I guess these guys aren't playing tonight.
That was at Northwest Stadium.
Yeah, like during the course
exactly.
of the game.
And so it just never happened.
To me.
That's weird to me is all.
And again, this is one of those, like, NFL paradigm things, and I'm not necessarily ripping Quinn and the team, but I would want to create adversity if I could. I would love the opponent to know who's going to play. I might even tell them what plays are coming just to see how much more difficult I could make it for my guys. Because the whole point is you're going to deal with a lot worse than the preseason game where, you know, you don't have the element of surprise. I mean, imagine, you know, going up against Luke Kuechly at various points over the course of his career where he's calling out your formations and plays based on film study, not based on something you gave away at the podium. You're going to encounter really good players who know what the hell's going on and will take your lunch. I want my players to experience that, but they're like, let's make sure we have a punter punt that's not going to punt for us during the regular season instead of put guys in adverse spots. I'll never get it.
You can listen to us coast to coast wherever you're at, free and available on the Odyssey app wherever you are. Jay is out in L.A. doing just that. What's up, Jay? You're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Doing great.
I've been listening. I'm actually with you guys on the larger point. I do think Jaden needs preseason rest. But I kind of disagree with, I think it was Grant. I think, you know, Grant, this idea that Alexander being out shouldn't meaningfully affect the decision because there's only one guy. To me, I feel like that oversimplifies what preseason refs are trying to accomplish. Like, because I don't think the question isn't, can Jaden physically go out there and play? Of course he can, but it's kind of like, what are you trying to gain from putting him out there? So if you're trying to strengthen his timing, communication, command the offense, then I do think the quality of his environment matters. And so to me, Alex Levy, like, he's not some interchangeable piece, right? He's the guy who's initiating every play. So he's, you know, and building that quarterback center rhythm with Jaden is important. So, no, I don't think his absence should be some automatic veto that keeps Jaden on the sideline, but I also don't understand the argument that it should have zero influence. If Jaden goes out there for 8 to 10 snaps behind a shuffled offensive line, then what are we evaluating?
Behind a what offensive line, you said?
A shuffled offensive line.
Well, it's one guy. And as of right now, that guy hasn't done anything the entire summer. So my point is, it's not like they're down to Golbin or Golbin can't go and they're moving some tackle over to center for the day. It's the guy that they said is competing for the job all spring who is going to be playing center.
Like, I don't know who Trey Hill is, but he's listed fourth on the center depth chart. If you only had that guy available this weekend, I could consider that. But I think what happens very easily is we conflate two different points. Like, if you don't see the merits in playing the quarterback in the preseason, we've had that debate where we happen to be on one side, but I could see a reasonable case on the other, just talking about the totality of work and are you ready for the regular season? What's the best way to do that? If it's a if-then correlation, if the starting center, Nick Allegretti, who, to your point, which needs to be hammered home so much, who has done nothing in training camp at all because of injury, if he can't go, then our quarterback can't go. Oh, my God, is the official if-then, right?
I'm going to go back to a rhetorical question he asked during that call, too, because I actually thought it was perfect. He said, what are we trying to accomplish with getting Jaden Daniels out there? And he asked that rhetorically kind of while defending the idea that the timing with Allegretti is super important. And perhaps if that is what you're trying to accomplish, what I'm trying to accomplish with getting Jaden Daniels back on the field, the reason I think he should play, needs to play. I've been on record. I'm going to keep saying this. I'm a broken record on this. Number one reason that I'm playing Jaden Daniels in the preseason, he has played twice since the middle of October. Twice. That's it. I want him to be on a football field because he hasn't been on a football field enough in a long time. So the very nature of going through those motions and breaking that sweat, important. Number two, he has never gotten a play call into his helmet in a game from David Blough, nor has he ever run this offense in a game. I would like him to do that before he runs an offense against the number one defense in the league, arguably, in the Philadelphia Eagles in a game that matters. Whether Allegretti's there or not does not affect number one. It doesn't affect number two. Number three is, and this one is going to go over very poorly, this will be a fart in church. This will be the one that floats around Twitter for a couple days and everyone gets angry about. But I think Jaden Daniels would benefit from contact in this preseason game, being hit. Now, I'm not suggesting anything overly dangerous or terrible or where he could get hurt, but he has not finished a game. His last three games, he has started the game and either been carted off or carried into the locker room by trainers or walked off the field or whatever's happened. Three straight games dating back to early October of last year, we're coming up on 10 months ago, he has not started a game and left a game healthy. I think mentally, it would be a huge deal to have that happen once. And so that's not something Nick Allegretti affects either. So these are the things I care about. Almost none of them are his timing with center Julian Good-Jones, who that timing's going to come. They're fine. They practice every day together. He's getting first and second team reps. They're going to have another joint practice against the Baltimore Ravens. If it's about like timing or seeing things the same, I think a lot of those things can be done without two series in a game. But the stuff I do care about, let's hear David Blough's voice. Hey, we're running jet sweep, 23-17 Niner. Let's hear it in your helmet once. You know, let's get out there and play in your third game since my kid was dressed up as a leprechaun in October. Let's go to Shane in Fairfax. What's up, Shane?
Commander Danny, I play football.
Ooh.
That's what football players do.
Football players play football.
They play football.
That means you're a football
Commander
player.
Commander Danny, Lieutenant Grant, how you boys doing today?
Good, buddy.
My son is letting you know right now he's ready for the center position. I told you boys a long time ago the center position is going to come back and be a nightmare. And here we are down a left tackle, yep. And now this center position is coming up. So that's two out of your three starting line. So here we are, not even the season, and we're already going to be juggling the O-line, and we ain't even had contact on and fire bullets yet. So let's call it what it is. Adam Peters, you know, to my opinion, man, I blame him on this because we had a center here, and we could have brought him back for hardly nothing, but we let him walk. But, you know, it is what it is. But with that being said, man, it's Daniels needs to be on that damn football field. He needs to get some contact. Like you said, he's not finished a game in three starts. And what's to say that Mr. Daniels is not bubble wrap Daniels now? Let's call it what it is.
Appreciate you, Shane. Do you know how many players, not quarterbacks typically, but how many players, Danny, have said to me over the years, I need a little bit of contact. You know what I mean? I need to get ready, like running backs or different positions or different players or what have you. I'm talking about players coming back from injury, like for the mental last hurdle to clear, the ability to feel like I can do this. All this guy has heard since the winter is how he's too brittle and he gets hurt too much, and every time he plays, he gets hurt. You just can't tell me there wouldn't be immense value in him going out there, taking on a little bit of contact, playing football because he's a football player, and we don't need to put him in bubble wrap. It's okay. He's going to be okay. And getting out of the game and being able to play a week from then. On the center position really quickly. We can get back into this in a second. But I'm going to ask this, and we'll come back to this. Are we overreacting a little bit about how perilous how they've handled center is? Because assuming Allegretti, who is fully expected to be healthy in the next couple of weeks and to be ready for week one, assuming he is ready for week one, I know he's been banged up a lot, but like he's only missed a game or two, I think, over the last 3 or 4 years. If he plays 17 games at center, they're fine, right? Like that's not that bad of a plan to just have a guy that's going to be better at picking up and making calls and seeing things coming before they happen than Tyler Biadasz. We'll get back into that, but we're focusing on that he's out right now, and if he's out, you're screwed, and I think that's true. Like, how big do you go with your backup center? It's hard to get a guy in free agency to come in here who started for 7 years to just be Nick Allegretti's backup. So I want to get into that next. There's probably somewhere between that and a guy that's played 2 snaps in Julian Good-Jones.
Right. There's a happy medium there, maybe.
We're focusing right now on this being like a detriment to the team when you don't have Allegretti, but it's not like he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, supposedly, he's going to be back on the practice field next week or so. G&D on the Fan. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We've been talking about Jaden Daniels' status for Saturday. It's been a back and forth momentum this week between is he going to play, isn't he? And as of today, it would seem like things are trending toward him getting a little bit of work in against the Lions, which would add a lot of intrigue at noon this weekend in Detroit. But we've also stumbled into this discussion about center because it seems like Nick Allegretti's absence could be linked to Jaden Daniels not playing in the game, which I just think is silly because Julian Good-Jones has been the starter throughout all of camp and is the guy that they've deemed capable of playing in the league by making him a backup. When you're a two and you're a play away, especially on the offensive line where guys like miss a snap here or there because they get banged up or rolled up or something happens, you're just above the threshold of a guy that I don't have to protect for a couple of series in an exhibition game. But I am wondering if we're overdoing the conversation about center being built terribly as we are worrying so much about it. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking my call. This is sort of a follow-up to what I was trying to say yesterday. We just have not properly layered the depth along the offensive line. And with Tunsil's injury, it was the the cascading effect. We move Coleman over, who we envisioned for guard. That weakens us at guard. And we weakened ourselves, as everybody except they seem to believe, in cutting Biadasz and going with Allegretti. And we haven't – this Good-Jones guy may be a good guy, but clearly he can't play. He's not played. We do not have NFL-caliber talent behind Allegretti at the center position, unless it's the rookie who some are saying should be playing guard. This is a red light that needs to be addressed. They need to go trade for or acquire an NFL caliber center so that when Allegretti comes back, they got two. And without it, that's why they're not playing Jaden. That's exactly why they're not playing Jaden.
Appreciate you, buddy. So I think one of two things has to be at play here, Danny. I want to get your thoughts on this. Kevin makes a good point. When he talks about layering with talent, at tackle, I think they layered pretty well. You have Tunsil and he goes down and you plug in Coleman, who's a top three-round guy, who's played okay at the position. By the way, you also have Andrew Wiley as a backup tackle who started in the Super Bowl. You've got Trent Scott, who's been around forever and played in the league in different organizations. That's a pretty well-layered position, right? Guard, I would say the same thing about. You had Coleman competing with Paul at guard. Cosme is a Pro Bowl type and a stalwart. But behind those guys, Wiley's got guard flexibility. Scott's got guard flexibility. They've signed a couple of dudes who have started in other places that have come in during camp even to be guards. Center, they have treated very, very differently. It's not like the others. You know those memes where it's like the two heads of the snake and then the goofy one? Like tackle is one, guard is one, and then the center one has its tongue out. Like, why are they doing it so differently?
Yeah.
So my point is, I think it's one of two things. either they feel very, very good about Good Jones, and we don't know what they know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I don't think that's the case, by the way. I'm just saying that's how they feel. 31 teams have been wrong. This guy's actually really good. He's only played 2 snaps, but we've got a secret weapon. Or they just feel that differently about the importance of the center position. Tackle's important. Guard's important. Center is not. It's got to be one of those two things, right?
I'm looking for other avenues, and I couldn't tell you. This is the part I also just want to keep hammering. They're doing the bet big that Allegretti's the dude. This is a guy that's played, as far as I can tell, 2 games at center in his career. I know the guard center thing is you're more interchangeable than maybe a tackle and a guard or a tackle and a center, but that's such a massive bet to let starting caliber center that was snatched up immediately. I know the bad luck, he got hurt because he's a Chargers lineman, and all Chargers linemen get hurt in Biotish. But you moved on from a starting center, didn't save all that much in cap space, by the way. There's an $8 million hit they'll probably spread out over a couple seasons. I haven't seen all the bookkeeping, depends on what how they do that. But overthecap.com's got a very minimal savings that they're not going to apply towards anything other than more cap space. And we're going with a guard who's never really played center, at least at this level, to be the starter, and trust us, everyone else is wrong, but we're right about the backup. Not a good plan. And the net result is, I agree with everything you said in terms of layering, and this was smart. Well, they did this, and they got some flexibility here. I know these rankings aren't gospel in their rankings, but no one's going to confuse this group with a top 10 group. And that, to me, with a quarterback on his rookie deal, should be viewed as a disaster, should be viewed as unacceptable in year 3. Year 1, if you're stuck with it, I get it, man. You're inheriting some bad deals, and the previous regime had big bets, and they were wrong about stuff, and you kind of clean house getting that Rivera and Lombardi parties nonsense out of there. This is your build, your image, your team, and you're left with this? Doesn't seem very good to me.
Do you agree that if Allegretti plays 17 games, they're fine? Or do you think even that is debatable?
It's a great question. I'm talking about just center, by the way. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
My answer is I don't know. And I know
so
that's
you're
frustrating.
Saying that's debatable.
I think I would say it's debatable again, but of course they know more than I do. I mean, who am I? I'm just a dude. You and I sure talk every day. But the point is they're going with an unknown and they think they know more than everybody else at center.
But he's not really an unknown in the sense that he's been in their building for an extended period of time.
Sure.
He has played a lot of center. You're saying only a couple times in games, but he has played a ton of center at practices, in camp.
Totally fair.
There's not that much guesswork to it, in other words, in my opinion.
So my view, that's where we'll disagree. I think there is some. There's some prognostication. There's a feeling, hey, we got this right. We're scouting. Watch how smart we are to make this move. And it's about competition. Even though, again, they took away a guy he could have competed with. And you could have a really expensive backup center for a year because you're not saving all that much salary cap space. This is a big bet on Allegretti to do something he hasn't done a ton in games in his career. Now, again, sometimes you have to do that. If you're up against the cap and you just spent all this money on defense, all this money on offense, and you got like $9, you're like one of these teams at the back end, you go, crap, we got to do it. We got to go with the unproven guy, because that's what he is to me. He's an unproven guy at that spot.
He is.
He could prove it. He could prove it. Could be great.
He's about 200 snaps at center in his career, and they saw him for the last 2 games of last year playing center here as the starter who played every snap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're taking a wide, like moving Niles Paul to tight end,
right,
and being like, we think he can block. Like, I mean, he's done it. And as you said, center and guard, the way that they use these guys sometimes and the way they practice it both, where he was their key backup at multiple positions, it's not that different. I want to try to figure out how Cade Cavalli has turned a corner and turned himself into what looks like a budding ace starting pitcher. He's been arguably the best arm in baseball, not named Jacob Mizorowski, over the last month and change. The pitching coach for the Nationals, who's a very sharp guy, always very cool to talk to, Simon Matthews, is going to join the show next right here on Grant and Danny.